Psalms. Thank you, musicians. Amen. We'll let you come back in a few. Amen. And meet us around the altars. Let me just make a mention here, Sister Jackie, doing a great job over our Sunday morning program. She just wanted me to drop a reminder. Maybe it would help them back there in Kid Power. If all the parents, when you leave the sanctuary at the conclusion of our service, if you could just please go to the hallway down there. If you have a child in Kid Power, if you can go to the hallway and just wait on them to be dismissed, it allows a little less chaotic scene down there in the room. And so if parents, if you've got a child in Kid Power, please just go to the door and in the hallway there, and they will be sending them out when they dismiss. She said that would just make it smoother this year, so she wants to try that. So bear that in mind. All of our kids that have children, all of our parents that have children in Kid Power. All right, praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to meet back in the house of the Lord and look forward to you being with us. We have prayer at 6 o'clock and service at 6:30. Brother Smith is going to be ministering in the service this evening, and so I encourage you to be here if you can. Also, we always like to encourage you to pick up a Bible reading chart. It's a very simple chart back there at the communication station that helps you chart your Bible reading through the year to enable you to reach the goal of reading through the entire Bible, Old and New Testaments, in 365 days. So I think that's a great, great goal. And if you haven't made that resolution, hopefully you will. And so we provided those reading charts back there for you. Just pick up one at the communication station before you leave. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go. Revelation 21 and verse 5. Revelation 21, 5. Text is provided on the screen as well. Let's read this together. I think it would be appropriate. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96, 1. Psalm 96, 1. We might as well read that because you all were sounding good. Read it together with me, audible voice, please. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. One more passage, Psalm 32, 7. Psalm 32, 7. One more time, let's read it together. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Father, here this morning, thank you for a brand new year. And thank you, Lord, that we can move into this year with a hope. Lord, a hope that defies logic in a sense, a hope that the world cannot understand, a hope that our culture cannot process, because we have the God of hope. And he's in our midst this morning, and I trust he's in our hearts. In Jesus' name, speak to us through your word. All God's people shout amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to share with you from this topic a new song for a new year. A new song for a new year. A few hours ago, we ended another year of our lives. Before us here this morning lies the expanse of a new year with all of its opportunities. And how many know, even with its oppositions? I believe that if we were to look at our time and our culture very closely, we could probably be pretty discouraged. As you see, many of the challenges we face, seen on the headlines of our local paper this morning, how drugs are ravaging our young people, and many young adults. Spoke to the local fire chief a few days back, and he said, "It's one thing you can tell your church, Pastor." He said, "Pray for this drug epidemic." He said, "We have been called out multiple times." And he says, "It's becoming overwhelming. I've had 129 ODs over the last 12 months here in Lorain, and that's confirmed. There's several more unconfirmed. Terrorists are vowing to destroy us." I'm talking about issues in our culture. They're planning 24/7, 365 on how to exterminate us and eliminate our American freedom. World economists tell us that we should be frightened by what they see in our financial future, especially if terrorists succeed in hitting strategic places around our globe, around our world. You know, our nation is, what, $20 trillion in debt? I've read that our leaders have made promises that will cost trillions of more dollars over the next coming years. New viruses are becoming, are beginning to appear that our medical science tells us are resistant to all known medicines. They say this flu pandemic is hovering over the horizon. Most health organizations estimate that deaths could range into the tens of millions if an outbreak occurs, if they don't have a vaccine to halt the spread. And then we all face tragedies on a personal level, don't we? We all face trials that can easily disconnect us and distract us from our faith if we're not careful to guard against them. And so there's a number of other things that we could use this morning, and I could mention to depress you. Hello. To bring you to the point of panic. And tears, basically. But enough of the bad news. Why? Because our God is a God of good news. Our God is a God of the gospel. He informs us that regardless of our circumstances, and even regardless of our surroundings, we can have a new song in this new year. So let me say that, let me give you a little framework here. I'm unaware of any command in the Bible to sing old songs, right? It's not disobedient to sing old songs. It simply isn't something God needs to remind us to do, because our natural inkling is toward humming and singing and selecting the stuff we already know. It takes energy and effort to sing new songs and to learn new songs. And so that's why the scripture, no doubt, reminds us again and again. At least 9 times, you'll find. It's a command. Sing a new song. 9 times. Why is that the case? Well, Psalm 40 gives us a clue. It's the psalmist here. He says he's waited patiently for the Lord, and he's waited for some deliverance. He says God hears him, rescues him. And one of the things he does for him in the deliverance, the psalmist says, is God has put a new song in his mouth. A song of praise to our God. That's Psalm 40 and verse 3. See, new songs of praise are appropriate for fresh manifestations of grace. Let me say that again. New songs of praise are appropriate for new or fresh manifestations of God's grace. As long as God is gracious toward us, how many know he's been gracious? As long as he keeps showering us with his power, wowing us with his works, and I believe it's fitting that we not just sing the old songs inspired by his past grace, but also we sing new songs. Why? Because he has a never-ceasing grace. He has ever-streaming love. And this isn't just true in this age, but if you find in Scripture, it'll be true for all eternity, because God will never cease to inspire awe in us about the breadth and the depth and the height of who he is and his works and his love for us in Christ. If we take our clues from the worship of heaven in the book of Revelation, have you read that? You get a little foretaste now of the great feast that is to come, the feast of worship that is to come. It seems God would have us to blend in some of the new songs with the old one as we prepare to sing, like Psalm 89 says, sing of his steadfast love forever. Forever means eternity. And in Revelation 15:3, we're told that those who had conquered the beast sing the song of Moses. Okay, how many know that's an old song? The song of Moses is an old song. It's written in Exodus chapter 15 or Deuteronomy 32, either one. Okay? But then it also says, and they also sing the song not only of Moses, but the song of the Lamb. That's a new song. Hello? Forever, God will continue to show his immeasurable riches of grace and kindness toward us, Paul told the church at Ephesus. And as he does for his glory and for our joy, we will be singing new songs. Now, it's a beautiful thing when we get to start on that right here, right now, because Psalm 96, in which I read to you, was written, we believe, by David. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. Okay, we're told that this psalm was written when the Ark of the Covenant has been returned to Jerusalem. Okay, after being under the possession and control of Israel's enemy, the Philistines, for some time. The Ark of the Covenant was viewed in Scripture as God's presence among his people. If you remember, when the Ark was away, the people of Israel felt divinely deserted. Remember that? The depression was almost more than those people could bear. In 1 Samuel 4, 21, 22, we read about the night that the people of Israel learned that the ark had been captured by the enemy. Eli, the high priest's daughter-in-law, gave birth to her son that night, if you remember, and she named him what? Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory is gone. Okay, while the ark was away, Israel felt the glory of God was gone. Their hope was gone. The peace was gone. The joy was gone. The protection was gone. The light of life had gone out for them, and they felt they were sitting in the dark. But listen, here in Psalm 96, we read of the attitude present when the ark was finally returned to Israel. Now, let me tell you something important. This is something to sing about. It was something great for the Israelites, because the glory of God, and how much for us is even greater, because for us the glory of God, the presence of God, the hope of God, the peace of God, the joy of God is always available for the child of God. Did you hear me? Christ said he will never what? Leave us nor forsake us. We have his presence in the person of the Holy Spirit, so we should live in the atmosphere of that grace as we go into the new year. Listen, don't let bad news get you down, beloved. Don't let threats and dangers bully you. Don't allow Satan to terrify you. I want to make a couple observations that will enable us to have a Christ-centered year in 2017. And if we embrace these observations, I believe the devil will not be able to get a foothold in our hearts or in our homes. Listen, I don't want his foothold in my home. Okay, so I want us to notice something. I want us to just maybe let me work through about three different points here. I want us, first of all, to possess an inner song of confidence. We find that from verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 96. The word where it says sing a new song, the word new means fresh. It means renewed. It means to brighten or lift your heart in song. In essence, the psalmist is telling us to get a hold of what has gotten a hold of us. Get off of the bad news and get on to the good news, because we are God's people. We are saved by His grace. We are on His way to His kingdom, where the King Himself will greet us and welcome us. Listen, till we get there, He has promised to be with us here. So He's trying to tell the children, look up, child of God. Hello. Look up, child of God, because we are actually blessed beyond words. We are blessed beyond words. Now, someone will say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. You're right, I don't. But I do know who is with us as believers. And I know that He will never fail. And I know that we are going through. We're not going under. Hello, church. Because God does not promise smooth sailing. How many knows that's a fact? But He does promise us safe arrival and victory over our enemies. And sometimes it may appear that truth is dislodged from its throne and that evil has taken its seat. But may we be reminded, how many know God's sovereignty has never ever went on strike? Hello? God is still on His throne. He is still Lord. He is still King. And He is still God. And He will never be toppled from His place. And listen, our circumstances may not necessarily give evidence of God's power at this moment, but always remember that we're not sitting on our circumstances. We are to be standing on His promises, as the hymn writer said, and Paul the Apostle put it this way. He said, for that which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Whatever we face, let's remember the Lord is keeping us and He has future plans for us. And that's why we can enter the new year, the psalmist says, singing a new song. That's why we can take off the cloak of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. David faced the lion, he faced the bear when he was but a junior high boy. And God gave him the courage and the confidence to protect His sheep from them. As he looks back in his life, David faced Goliath with nothing but a shepherd's slingshot. And God gave him an epic victory. He was later hunted down by jealous King Saul, but God became his hiding place and gave him victory every time Saul came near. Listen, David was even taken by the Philistines in Gath, but God crafted a plan of escape for him and brought him out. Listen, David sinned morally and felt the pains of guilt. Read about it in Psalm 51. He felt the sorrow, but yet he felt the forgiveness of God when he cried out in repentance. So here in this chapter, David, the writer's looking back, all that God has done for him over his lifetime, and he says, listen, I'm not going to sit around and whine about my circumstances. I'm going to sing a new song. David possessed a song of confidence. He looked back from the time he was delivered from the mouth of the bear and the paw of the lion, and he said, God has been with me all this time. He says, I've got confidence. God is going to bring me through. Listen, church, what's God done for you? How many times has He forgiven you? How many troubles have He brought you through? Lift up your head and sing a song of confidence. If He's done it before, He'll do it again. Praise God. All right. So let's conclude 2016 and begin 2017 with a new song. A song of confidence. Secondly, let's proclaim a public song of deliverance. That comes from the text we read in 32:7. Because once we get a positive song of confidence on the inside, we must translate that to a public song of deliverance on the outside. Psalm 32:7, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me in trouble. Thou shalt compass me or surround me with songs of what? Deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. Now, how many know we've just celebrated the birth of our Lord? That's Christmas on our calendars. Do you know deliverance is really the cry of Christmas? At Christmas time, the sound of deliverance is really everywhere, and it should be. We hear it in the lyrics of our Christmas carols. We read it from our Christmas cards. It's the sound of the Word becoming flesh so that He could deliver us from sin. And really, deliverance is one of the giant words. It's a heavy word in the Scripture. It's a broad, inclusive term which describes the forgiveness of sin, the redemption from eternal death, the recovery of physical health, the release from spiritual bondage, the rescue from difficult situations. And so as our Savior, Christ has come to be our deliverer. And the essence of the meaning, really, of salvation is deliverance. So when we sing songs of deliverance, we tune our souls to the promise and potential of Christ's power being announced and being proclaimed to any bondage that we might have in our lives. And in fact, we find songs of deliverance all through Scripture. I just began to think of some when I began to jot down some notes. For example, David sung a song of deliverance to King Saul. Remember that? He played and... evidently, the Bible says Saul was relieved of the demonic oppression and the demonic spirit that was troubling him. I'm not sure what David sung or played, but it became a song of deliverance. And Jehoshaphat's choir sang, even when they went to battle, and they said they sent the tribe of Judah into battle first, singing, was it? And their enemies were conquered. I don't know the tune or the tempo of their song, whether it's fast or slow, but however, it became a song of deliverance. Hello. Paul and Silas, when you step over in the New Testament, sang and an earthquake shook the prison house where the Bible says their chains fell off and the Roman guard along with his whole family, his household was saved and added to the New Testament church and brought into the kingdom of God. Who knows how melodious their tune was? No comment is Scripture has ever made about their singing. That probably means, well, they gave it their best shot. Hello. Maybe their voice quality wasn't going to win either one of them the Male Vocalist of the Year award. Hello? But it didn't have to, because it evidently was a song of deliverance. And it more than got the job done. Songs of deliverance, they are hymns of divine grace. And as the carols of Christmas begin to fade from our hearing, and this new year begins to flourish, I hope and pray that we will have testimonies that the King has come, and He has given us something to sing about, and that is the message of deliverance. I said, the King is here. I said, the King is here. And Jesus told His people in His hometown synagogue, when He picked up Isaiah chapter 61, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. But notice this, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Listen, He was delivered into this world so that we can be delivered out of this world. And yet many around us, they do not presently live a life of freedom. But I want to tell you today, you can live a life of freedom. Why? Because the King has come, and there's hope in our world. That's a song of deliverance. Woo! How many know we can put our hope in just about anything? Oh, I gotta hurry. We can put our hope in our intelligence, in our relationships, family, our morals, our faith, religion, personality, good looks. We can put our hope in our sense of humor. We can put our hope in anything. And the longer that we keep running to those things to answer the question of who's going to deliver us, the longer we will be ensnared by our guilt. Because none of those things that I mentioned, like intelligence, relationships, personality, good looks, sense of humor, none of those things can deliver us like Christ can. Because, for example, if I make my looks my deliverer, God, yeah, I'd laugh too. If I make my looks my deliverer, I have to constantly stay good looking. Huh? If I ever lose my good looks, then I will have no hope. Hello. If I make my skill and my talent my deliverer, then I always have to be the best. And if someone does it better than me, then there goes my hope. Hello. Church, Christ alone is the only one who says, I will deliver you from your guilt and from your shame, no matter what you have done. Only Christ can take it from us. Only He can deliver us. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because 2,000 years ago, He came, born in a barn, and 33 years later, He laid His body on a cross and experienced my guilt, my shame, and your shame, and said, Father, forgive them. Praise God, that becomes a song of deliverance. Oh, somebody say, praise God. Glory to God. Give me 5 more minutes. Who'll give me 5? 5, 10, 15, 20. We'll do it. I'll hurry. Third point, final point. Here we go. Practice a powerful song of reverence. Confidence, deliverance, reverence. And what I mean by reverence is worship. How many know worship is more than being in a worship service? Worship involves the worshiper. Listen, my friend, if you want to have a great year 2017, make sure you worship God God's way. Listen to the things that's mentioned here in this chapter, and we're going back to Psalm 96 regarding the spirit of our worship. I want you to notice, first of all, we're to worship in strength. Then we're to worship in sacrifice. And then we're to worship in seriousness. Worship in strength. Psalm 96, 4, let me read that to you. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. So the call of the psalmist on us as believers is to praise God because He is greatly to be praised. Now the word greatly, do you really know what it means? I think you probably do. It means loudly. Hey, I'm not inserting my opinion. Check it out in the Hebrew text. The word greatly means loudly, passionately, hello, and diligently. It means more than merely humming a hymn while all the others are singing the hymn. It means more than yawning while the offering is being taken. And let me tell you without evasion that the expressionless, passionless way that many folks enter the house of God to worship is a shame. Why? Because we are called, and here's for an example in this passage, to give God great worship.
great glory. You say, what's that mean? The word glory means heavy. It means weighty. We are to put some vigor behind our worship. We must give our worship due weight. The congregation of any church is not a room full of spectators. We are called to be participators in the worship of a great God. We are to put our energy into this worship. And then it says we are told to give him strength. God? God's stronger than the strong. How can we give him strength? This word here in the original is speaking of me putting my strength into his worship. Here's what we do. Now, we work energetically all week. We may have hobbies and stuff that we then, if we're not working energetically, we're playing energetically. Hello. When we're not working. So then, what do? Well, we drag our tired, exhausted body into church, flop it down on the pew, and hope that pastor quits early enough so you can go home and get a nap. What he's saying is you're coming to the house of God all exhausted. The psalmist says, hey, save up some of your strength for worship in the house of God. Put some gusto behind your worship experience. Listen, did you know man's first full day on earth was the Sabbath? Man was created on the sixth day. That was Friday, day six of creation. Because Saturday in the Old Testament was the Sabbath. He went to sleep that night and got up the first full day on earth. And I can just believe Adam was ready to go to work. Hello. But God said, no, no, Adam, not so fast. This is the Sabbath. You are to worship and rest today. Help me preach. Now, I think some of us Pentecostals think God meant for us to do both at the same time, worship and rest. So that's why we sleep through the worship service. Oh, help me, Lord. God told Adam, while you're fresh and strong, I want you to spend the day with me. Then you can go to work. Man's first full day was with God in worship and rest. We don't end the week with God. We begin the week with God. And if you want 2017 to be a great year, start every day with God, and especially start every week with God in the house of worship. That's worship in strength. Secondly, worship in sacrifice. As the musicians come, worship in sacrifice. That's verse 8. It says, bring an offering. How many would agree God deserves our best gifts? We should bring his tithe and our offering. Bring him a worthy gift. Make 2017 a year of faithful giving to God and sacrifice of generosity. I've got to hurry. My final point, number 3, worship in seriousness. That's verse 9. He says in fear. That means tremble before him. David says worship is not something to be taken lightly. Take this worship thing seriously. Being serious does not mean being dull or being long-faced. It means take this matter to heart. And when we recognize that we are in his presence, we should tremble, but not in a bad way, but in a good way. Tremble with delight. Tremble with respect. Tremble with awe. And say, he didn't have to save me from hell. But thank God he did. Only through Christ and by his grace are we delivered from eternal judgment. And Psalm 18, David said, in my distress I called unto the Lord in my cry. It says he helped me. And he says he sent from on high and took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me. Praise God. A song of deliverance. A song of confidence. And a song of reverence. Stand with me. Aren't you glad he's our song of deliverance? Woo! Hallelujah. One of my favorite songs of deliverance go like this. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Somebody give him praise right for that tear today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning. You need to run. You need to run to Christ. You need to cast your cares at the foot of the cross. You need to admit your guilt. You need to admit your shame. And you need to trust Christ and say, hey, if he has truly paid it all, why should I be carrying this burden? Let him give you a new song in your heart. How many can say, I can use a new song? That will lead to a new year filled with God's presence and God's blessing. Oh, glory to God. I feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, here this morning, I don't know who you're speaking to. God, I just appreciate the fact that you've spoken through the gifts of the Spirit in this service. Lord, I believe you've also spoken from your word, so please meet us in the altars. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody shout amen. Before you leave the house of God, would you come? Would you take a few moments and build an altar? Would you say, God, I need a new song. I need a new song. I need a new song for this new year. I'm going to tell you, you can leave with a song of confidence, a song of deliverance, and a song of reference. That's right. Just come. Just take a moment. Step out of your seats. That's right. Just come forward. Just embrace Christ with all your heart, with all your strength. Go ahead and go ahead and worship him some great praise. Maybe some great praise. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Who was and is to come. With all creation I sing.
The deliverer is here. The deliverer has come.
You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed with rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will